The Jews have every reason to believe Moshe will never come back. We've seen this play before, the last time with a father and a son. A three-day journey into the wilderness for sacrifice, the story that Moshe tells Paro at some unknown place, which turns out to be a mountain. We know this story, but the last time we saw it told, the main characters were Abraham and Yitzchak. The long-awaited son, the hope for the future of the people, ascends the mountain, leaving others behind with promises to return. This time, though, rather than taking along fire and a devouring knife, ma'achelet, the mountain is already topped by a devouring fire, an ish ochelet. And so when Moshe doesn't return, the Jewish people think they understand. They were extras in this story, just like the servants and the donkey that accompanied Yitzchak and Abraham to Har HaMoriah so many years before. It was Moshe that God wanted all along. This time, they think, God didn't change his mind at the last moment. This time, God took his human sacrifice. His olah, both the word used for the intended sacrifice in the story of the Akedah, and an echo of the language Moshe uses to describe his ascent up the mountain. And they, servants and donkeys, are left alone, without a leader, and without the God who, they believe, only ever cared about Moshe. It's a devastating read of reality, not only because they believe Moshe will never return to them, but because it means that they believe in their heart of hearts that it was never them, never the people as a whole, that God wanted at all. Everything, God's promises to Abraham, the descent to and destruction of Egypt, the plagues and the miracles, leading not to the birth of the people, but to the choice of one man. In this moment, the Jewish people betray their own deep-seated sense of worthlessness. What can they, born and raised as slaves, possibly have to offer God compared to a prophet raised as an Egyptian prince? While we might think ourselves immune to B'nai Israel's mistake, the truth is that it is all too easy to fall into their way of thinking. It is easy to think of ourselves as extraneous, as extras in the drama of religious life. Sometimes the quiet voice of doubt tells us that we cannot possibly matter to God or Judaism begins to shout. And, try as we might, we cannot silence it. This is why, immediately after Moshe ascends the mountain, God reminds us of just how much God needs each of us. Moshe entered into the cloud and ascended the mountain. Moshe was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. God spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to B'nai Israel and take for me gifts. From each person, as their heart compels them, you shall receive my gifts." In describing the donations that are to be given for the Mishkan, God's dwelling place on earth, God emphasizes that gifts are to be given from each person who chooses to give as their heart moves them. God here expresses a need that can only be fulfilled by each individual acting in accordance with their particular sensibilities. God needs the gift of each particular heart, not just of the greatest and most righteous, and certainly not just of Moshe's. In order for God to dwell among us, each of us must recognize that we are worthy, chosen, and needed. This is what the Torah is saying when it conveys the command to take the Truma to build the Mishkan immediately after narrating Moshe's departure. Understand that when Moshe ascends the mountain, it is not because God wants him as an olah, a sacrifice, literally an elevated one. It is because God wants to descend to you, to all of you. Understand that there are no extras in this story that you and God are writing together. Understand that in this love story, you are a partner, and that you will never, ever be left behind.